Hey, thanks for finding us. In fact, you found us on a Thursday evening. You could have found us on a Wednesday afternoon. We don't know because we're on the internet. And this is Caching in the Northwest. This is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the great Pacific Northwest. We're going to talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the country. So while you're cleaning pumpkin guts off your wife's brand new tablecloth, we'll be caching in the Northwest. And we can't do that until we bring in our mountaineering monkey. Some say he is our benevolent overlord. And others say that 51% of the pumpkins in British Columbia will have his face carved into them this month. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
You know, it sounds really painful to have my face carved into 51% of the pumpkins in British Columbia, but...
You can have your face impacted on 51%.
Sorry. Come here, Land Monkey. I want to show you something. All right. Hey, you know what? Very pleased to be here with you tonight. And again, the astute amongst our live viewing and or listening audience will recognize the absence of our dear friend Witsand, who is busy elsewhere this evening. But we miss him. I'm always pleased to get together with my good friends. And tonight, good friend, it's just you, but I'm also pleased to be here with you tonight.
Well, we definitely miss the wit and mustache of Wit's End, but he should be with us next week. He's doing a bit of traveling, so we wish him well and pray for safety.
Absolutely. Amen. You know, something else I'm thankful for is our supporters of our podcast, those who have taken the time to go check out our Patreon link and decided to, you know, spend a couple of bucks a month and support our podcast. So we want to thank the Denali level supporters. That's teamsquirrelandworldcaching.com. And remind you that if you want to find out more about that, just click on the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. And tonight, I want to also thank every other current patron of our show, which would be Subway Mark, Cachemaniacs, Dora Moore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, GeoNav Pros, Wino Seattle, AckerDoc, OBX Geek, Camp Clan, B Pendragon, and Billy Robson. Thank you very much, each and every one of you. You make this podcast possible.
Exactly. You know, we really wouldn't do it without you. So thank you that you're showing us that you support us. And we thank everyone who listens. You know what? Take an opportunity and share Caching in the Northwest with some of your friends. You know, if they're stuck in your car, they've got nowhere else to go but to listen to our podcast. You know, what if they jump out of the freeway at 55 miles an hour, that's on them. Wait. You know what? If you want to, you could take your favorite episode, burn it to a CD, drop that in a cache so other people can find it. Or share our posts on social media, whatever that may be for you. Go ahead and share them out there. We love to talk to cachers right here in the Northwest and really anywhere around the world. Now, tonight... Oh, please.
No, I was just going to say, I think those are all really great suggestions. I started to laugh, though, when you were talking about burning your favorite episode. And I thought, wow, maybe burn your least favorite episode. I don't know.
It could be this one tonight. We don't know.
Please don't burn our episodes.
Burn it to a CD and throw it like a Frisbee, says Limax. I have stories about throwing CDs. I'll tell them in the after show.
Okay. Hashtag Fatas.
For tonight's show, we're going to talk about fall geocaching safety and readiness. But before we get going too far, we want to say that our thoughts and prayers go out to the victims and all those displaced in those California wildfires. You know, we know people who have lost loved ones or, you know, have lost everything they own. So our thoughts and prayers go out to them.
Yeah, it's just been a brutal year in all of North America this mm-hmm. year for wildfires. It's insane.
Well, yeah. You know, a lot of that, and my brother put it the best. He goes, oh, yeah. You know, I said, oh, good. You're getting all this rain in February, March. He goes, yeah, that's going to make the plants grow. And that means all that is going to dry out and burn later. Oh, I didn't think of that. So it just made more fodder for the kindling for the fires.
Yeah. Well, Be that as it may, as you said, our thoughts and prayers do go out to everybody who's impacted by the wildfires, and especially those who are putting their life on the line fighting those wildfires.
And, you know, not only is nearly every California firefighter there, there's firefighters from nearly every state and Canada and, you know, other countries that have come in to help. So, you know, we are truly blessed, aren't we?
We are. And, you know, while we're talking about our blessings, let's talk about a way that the good folks at Caching in the Northwest can return blessings back to those who share their glow or geocaching log of the week with us.
That's right. You know what? We want to send you a badge for your profile. So whether you read it or whether you wrote it, we want to hear about it, because great logs simply makes geocaching better. Send an email to feedback@cachingnw.com. You know what? I know it works. You can call into 253-693-TFTC or use the voicemail tool right there on the website and show us how you glow. Now, tonight's glow comes from one of our great listeners, Keats94. And I heard a lot about Keats94 this weekend, but that's a different story. He says, here's another glow for your show. The cache is called The Right Way. That's GC3 Quebec Victor Golf Zero. The cache is located on beautiful Bowen Island. And I can say it is. Again, we'll talk about that later. Located west of Vancouver, BC. It was literally found on a dark and stormy night. Well, evening, I should say. So it might be more suited for Halloween. But regardless, it was a very memorable find. And I thought, what better time of the year to read such a glow? So here we go. Well, this cache sure wins the award for most creepy. My goodness. How long has it been there? After realizing that we need to go into the cavern, flashlights are definitely required for this one. After a slow and cautious approach, we began our search. And after some back and forth searching, we neglected to search in the other end. Wow, that sure gave Zeppelin 94 a fright. When we saw it, I was set to sprint back out. After some examination, we thought this must be the location of the cache, but we couldn't find it. After some more back and forth searching, we eventually made the find. I have never been so astonished at a location of a cache before this one. It takes the cake for amazingness. I wish I could give all of my 157 favorite points, because it deserves that many. This is my first cave cache, and of course, I will give it at least one favorite point. I'll remember this hide for the rest of my life. Also, quite the operative month to find it. I may have nightmares now. TFTC.
Yeah, I know exactly which cache this is. So he mentioned Senate Cave. It is an abandoned mine on Bowen Island. So you can pretty much stand up. You don't have to spelunk per se to get in there. You can walk in, but I won't give anything else away on this one. But it is definitely.
Is it better on a dark and stormy night?
Honestly, it's good anytime.
Nice.
So yeah, that's a fantastic one. Although on a dark and stormy night, that one's, yeah. If you're already sort of in the mood of being a little creeped out, then even better. Yeah. All right. So yeah, that was great to get that log in. Thank you very much, Keats. We appreciate you sending that in.
We do appreciate it. Hey, we appreciate all your glows, go ahead and send those in, because we want to hear about them. And, you know, it may take us a while, because maybe we're saving it for a special time of year, like this one's more appropriate, you know, towards Halloween. We're going to use your glow. Send it on in. And if there's a milestone cache that you happen to be celebrating, why not call that into 253-693-TFTC and share it with the entire Northwest community? You know what? You can also use the voicemail tool on our website. And we have PTLD who called in to share just that. Let's take a listen.
This is PTLD 2016 from Portland. I'm calling in to report a milestone. Last week, I found my 300th mystery, DC-78 Delta Hotel Charlie. Gotta find them all. I haven't found them all, but I'm making a small dent in local mysteries. My goal for the year was to reach 100 mysteries, so I guess I should be a little more ambitious for 2018. Thanks.
Well, thank you, PTLD 2016. I appreciate that. Yeah, if you, she went a little overboard on mysteries. Well, can you? Can you really go overboard on mysteries?
Yeah, but you can't go overboard on Earth caches.
Well, you know what? We're not going to argue on the show tonight, but.
All right. But yes, congratulations, PTLD 2016. And thank you so much for calling that in. We really appreciate that.
Oh, nice. Now, we also have a contest going on.
We do. We do have a contest going on. I love contests. It is so fun when we run the contest because some of you guys really get into it and make it fun for us. So that is the awesome part for us when we can see you really getting into it like you guys have with the hashtag wish I was cashing contest. So shall I read maybe a couple that we've seen posted recently?
Please. Those are a lot of fun to me.
All right. So N.W. Hokey writes, at Land Monkey GC, tonight I am sitting at SeaTac. Tomorrow I will be checking out W.V. Tim's gadget caches. Hashtag wish I was caching. Well, sounds like you're going to be doing some great caching. All right. Dora Moore writes, here comes the rain. Kind of glad I'm working all week, but I still wish I was caching. You want to grab the last one?
Nice. Yes. Sorry. I was doing a little fatas. By the way, if you put anything into the Q&A, we might talk about it. Not the Q&A, the chat. What is this?
We'll talk about you too, but that's after we're finished.
What is this? 2017 Q&A? Ha. Oh, wait. 2016 Q&A? Ha. Now it's 2017 and chat. But the last one comes from our buddy Bryling. He says, Sunday, the day after an epic geocaching adventure, I heard all over. Hashtag, wish I was caching today, too. Maybe later. Or maybe a nap first. You know, this leads right into, have you done any geocaching this week? And it turns out that Land Monkey, Bryling, Mrs. Land Monkey, and GeoNavPros and I did some caching this weekend together.
Yeah, it was
an epic hashtag geocache road trip. And I have to agree with Bryling that, you know, Sunday hurt a bit. Let me tell you, I avoided stairs. Oh, that's upstairs. No, I guess I don't need it. There was a couple of times on Monday, and I laughed when I did it. Walking straight was no problem on a flat surface, but going up and down the stairs really hurt. Going down hurt more than coming up for whatever reason. I would go to the top of the stairs and look and go, no, I'm taking the elevator today. And stop and turn around. I was like, really, Chris, get yourself together. But yeah.
Nice. Well, it was great to have you come and join us. It's, we've got to give Bryling full credit for coming up with the idea to head over. We spent the day on Bowen Island.
Beautiful Bowen Island, as described by Keats 94.
It is. And even when it was kind of an overcast day, a little bit of rain, but still a beautiful place to be, really neat. And we got all kinds of caching in there, didn't we? We got a T5 kayak cache to start the day off. And that was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. That was a beautiful spot that was on the western edge of the island there. It was a beautiful spot. I mean, it looked like a pristine, you know, never before touched beach that, of course, we walked in and put footprints all over. But, you know, it was absolutely a gorgeous location. I thought the weather was great. Yeah, it wasn't overcast, but it wasn't hot.
No.
You know, there were a few raindrops, but no downpour. I thought it was a great day. Any day of geocaching is a great day.
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was great to have you up there. Of course, the night before, We were at Dora Moore's long anticipated Friday the 13th event.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. What did you think?
It was fine. Oh no, it was fabulous. Okay. Actually, I when I came back and started describing it to my wife and son, I was like, you know, I can't quite call it. You know what? It was a haunted house on a hike. It was a haunted hike.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
And was really well done. Really well done.
Yeah, Dora Moore and her group of volunteers just exceeded themselves. But we also have to special kudos and thanks to City of Richmond Parks Department, who gave us access to the park after hours so that we could have a special event with, gosh, I don't know. Must have been getting close to 100 cachers who came out.
Yep.
We had geocachers came out and joined us from Berlin for that event.
No way.
Yeah. No, I don't think they came from Berlin to Vancouver just for the event, but they were traveling to Vancouver and saw the event and came out and enjoyed it. So hopefully they had a great time.
I did. It was a fabulous event. Very well run. In order to keep the groups a little smaller, they were broken into groups. As you came in, you could choose which one of the 10, I believe, groups you wanted to be a part of.
Yeah, maybe there 12.
Well, should have been 13.
13 groups.
13, yeah. And the chat is out of control. Okay.
I have not been looking at the chat.
Thank you. Don't look at the shiny object. I went out with one of the groups and it was fabulous. Not only are you hiking through a very nice trail, any branches that we weren't supposed to go on were blocked off, usually with something creepy. And, so you had a very clearly marked trail at which things would jump out at you.
Like a spookum bear.
Yes, there was a spookum bear there.
That's awesome. So yeah, that was just an amazing event. I'm so glad that you were able to come up and enjoy it, and everybody else who came out to visit and participate in that event. And a lot of people really got into the spirit by dressing up in their own scary manners. Yeah, it was just fantastic.
Great event. It really was.
All right. Yeah. So we had a great event Friday. You stayed the night and joined us Saturday for a hashtag epic geocaching road trip adventure to Bowen Island. And yeah, it was a really great weekend of geocaching. And then Mrs. Monkey and I went out on Sunday and Monday and did some more geocaching.
Nice. Let's see now. Yeah. In this group, I think I was the only one who hadn't found anything on the island.
That's probably right.
So I made 19 finds and one DNF.
Nice.
And I think you had 10, correct?
We had 10 because we had 10 left on the island that we needed to find, and we found them. So that island is all smiley for us now, which is nice.
At least it is for a day or two.
Yeah, that's right. Until the reviewers clean things up and make new spots.
Exactly. So, yeah, lots of fun. Always fun to get together with the Land Monkeys and our Canadian cacher brethren. Canadian caching comrades.
There you go.
If you want to be illiterate about it. The alliteration.
Or illiterate.
I guess that doesn't work, does it?
Okay. Oh, dear. All right. So, yeah. So, good stuff. Hey, you know what? Heard some news, and I think this news I heard coming from you, and I'm not sure where you heard it from, maybe from the recipient themselves, but we heard that listener Bounce, who I believe is in the chat actively right at the moment, received an award. Make that two awards this week for two of his amazing TB hotels. So that would be GC5DHPQ Holiday TB Hotel, which Mrs. Monkey and I have found and think that one is absolutely fantastic. And GC6ZR1H, the 520 Bellevue TB Hotel, which I don't think we've found that one yet. But
go find it. I haven't found it either, but I found the holiday one and thought it was spectacular, and people are telling me, no, the 520 one's even better.
Wow. That's
I don't great. Know how it's possible. So.
Yeah. So what is this award that he has won? Well, let me tell you what this is. Apparently, there is something called the Travel Bugs Hotels of America, or Travel Bug HOA. They give out a 5-bug badge of honor to really fantastic TB hotels across the U.S., I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they posted a note on the 520 Bellevue TB Hotel that said, Travel Bug Hotels of America is proud to award this stellar cache with its highly coveted 5-bug badge of honor. We hope that the added exposure will bring many more travelers your way. Thank you, property managers, for all the hard work. So congratulations, Bounce Bounce. That is fantastic. The only thought that crossed my mind as I was reading this is talking about bugs and hotels might not be always perceived as a really positive thing.
In geocaching, it's just fine. We understand exactly what that means. However, the rest of the world's like, I'm not going to a 5-bug hotel. It's a roach motel, right? Roaches check in, but they don't check out.
Mm. All right. So, yeah, very cool. Congratulations, Bounce Bounce. Well-deserved honors for you and your cool caches. All right. Well, you know what? Speaking of cool caches, many cool caches are puzzle caches.
Oh, so many.
And, you know, when we're working on puzzle caches, we always want to be able to check and make sure that before we pack up and head out to go find the physical cache, that we have the coordinates correct. So there exists such a thing as a solution checker, or as we more frequently call it, a geo-checker. Well, as of today, geocaching.com has introduced their own basic solution geo-checker, or solution checker, whatever you want to call it, for mystery caches. So what is this all about? Well, it is something that if you own a mystery cache, you can just go into the edit function of your cache page, click one little radio button, and all of a sudden, right at the bottom of your description will be a solution checker. It gets popped right in there.
One button is there? How easy is that?
One button. Well, okay. So technically, you have to hit the radio button to say, yes, I put this on. And then you have to go down. And you have to click the two check boxes mm-hmm. that say, yes, I'm following all the rules. And yes, the cache is actually there. And then hit submit or resubmit or apply or whatever it is. Anyway, the point being, very easy to enable this. You don't have to transpose any numbers. One of the things I really like is that it goes and takes your final coordinates for your cache and just puts them in. You don't have to do anything. So that when the geo-checker pops up on the page, it default populates the geo-checker on your page with whatever the puzzle icon coordinates are that you have set in the puzzle, in the mystery cache. And then the cacher can go in and edit those numbers and try it. You get 10 tries. After 10 tries, it locks out for 10 minutes, and then you can come back. So that is... there's a few geocheckers that do that, and the intent is to try and maybe not eliminate, but reduce
mm-hmm.
at least brute force attempts to solve a puzzle.
Exactly. Maybe deter the brute force attempts.
Yeah. So it's very cool. I have enabled it on one of my puzzle caches earlier today just so I can play with it and get a sense of how it works. So my thoughts, like I said, I turned it on for one of my mystery caches. Like I said, it displays the given coordinates of your puzzle cache, uses a reCAPTCHA to, are you actually a human? I said 10 tries, 10-minute wait. If you get
can
it correct,
set that?
I did say that.
No, you if can you, set that? You can set the number
no.
of tries?
Oh, no, it's the default setting. You can't change that setting. Not in any way I could find. Once you get it right, it pops up a message that says, correct, the coordinates for this cache have been updated. And it actually updates the cache coordinates for you. So, you know, there's a lot of steps. Previously, that would have been a sort of a manual mm-hmm. transposition of numbers, typing them in here, typing them in there, that this reduces the potential for human error, which is kind of cool. I think it works really great. I do love that integrated approach that they've taken with it. If there's a drawback to it right now, I would say there doesn't seem to be a way to edit or add any content to the geochecker. So, for instance, often I have solved puzzles, mysteries, where once you solve and you get the correct coordinates in there, the geochecker pops up an image or a hint specific to finding the cache itself. You can't do that with this one. So it just has its default statement of correct the coordinates for this cache have been updated, and that's your only option right now. But who knows what they'll come up with? You know, I say give the folks at geocaching.com some feedback about it. If that's something you think would be really valuable, let them know that. I think that's great. Team Finn, Cameron said they released the checker very quietly. Why? And I think what we've been seeing is the team at geocaching.com is kind of sliding out some updates and very quietly, in the sense that they're not making a big, huge announcement about every time they make a change to the site. And granted, you could argue this is a fairly significant change, but RockChalk is sending messages out to all the volunteers and all the media folks when they make these changes to let us know. And I love it when he sends the messages out on a Thursday morning, because then it's like hot news for our podcast.
Exactly. We get to talk about it that evening. Yeah. If he releases the news on a Friday morning, you're like, oh, I missed it by just a couple of hours.
I know. That sucks.
We got to wait a whole week.
Yeah. Dora Moore had some feedback there, too. Did you want to share that, Chris?
Yeah. Dora Moore says, I solved about a dozen puzzles today that didn't have the new feature and one that did. I like the new one. So, yeah, I love that integration it has with the site. I mean, obviously, it comes from geocaching.com. So as you when you get the proper coordinates, it populates your corrected coordinates field for you. So. Very nice.
Yeah, it's a pretty handy little feature.
Exactly.
And of course, they have the advantage that they own the site, so they can do stuff like that.
Oh, it's like being a landowner and being able to do some things, isn't it?
Yeah. I can nail this cache into this post because it's my post. Yeah.
I can put this post here. Yes. Nice. You know,
right, yeah.
What? Oh, I was going to say we have more feedback into the email that's feedback at cachingnw.com. This one comes from Butterfly Girl. She said, I'm listening to your podcast, episode 219, Earth Caching with Land Monkey. I remember that episode. You mentioned a cruise idea for your listeners in the Northwest. It would be cool if you could have one around the time of GeoCoin Fest 2018. So that some of us on the other side of the U.S. would be able to go also. Just a thought from Butterfly Girl. And I thought that was absolutely genius. So we'll look to see what we can do. That might be a little late in the year, but you never know.
Well, and, you know, on that note, GeoCoin Fest 2018 is what she's talking about. And you might be listening to this podcast and saying, what is the deal with GeoCoin Fest 2018? Why would you want to line up the cruise with that? Well, let me tell you. The reason is GeoCoin Fest 2018 is going to be in the Northwest. It's going to be in Issaquah, which is along the I-90. Let's say it. You know you want to say it.
Issaquah. There you go.
If you're wondering why that's so funny to us, hashtag Pitas.
Yeah.
All right. But, let's talk a little bit more about GeoCoin Fest 2018, just for those who, like myself, I'm not really familiar with. I know there's a lot of excitement about this year's 2017's because it was on the Queen Mary down there in California. But I kind of really don't know what a GeoCoin Fest is. So I just know it's an event. So it was interesting to read this. So I'll read out to you guys listening to the podcast what was shared with us. So the statement goes, geocoins, trackables, space needles, spacing, ferries, ferrying, public market selling, bridge trolls, trolling, geocoin poker, salmon migrating, project ape tunnels, geocaching HQ, geocoin adventure hunts, trading trackables, and meeting geocachers from around the globe. GeoCoin Fest 2018 will be held inside the historic Pickering Barn. Admission is free with registration. The event starts from 9 till 1. GeoCoin Fest will be located in Issaquah, which is ideally situated along Interstate I-90. get some distances from various things. And notes that it is south of, well, Canada. So.
That's the one you pull up. You don't mention it. It's 14 miles north of the airport, 16 miles east of downtown Seattle and geocaching HQ, 30 miles west of Mission 9 Tunnel of Light Ape Cache, and south of, well, Canada. No, sorry, I had...
Well, Canada! It's all in the interpretation. Yeah, what to expect. And this is the part that was interesting to me. Well, all of it's interesting, but this is the part that was particularly interesting to me because I know very little about GeoCoinFest. So GeoCoinFest is much more than just GeoCoins. Sure, there will be GeoCoins, trackables, and geocaching gear. This year, there will also be a premium geocaching experience with a free exclusive GeoCoin at the end as a prize. There are signature caches in the area, such as the HQ and Project Ape with unique icons, and nearby lab cache adventures on and off site. Festivities kick off on Thursday and run through Sunday. Tentative schedule is Thursday, early bird event at the 50s Diner Classic Triple X Root Beer. Friday, meet and greet at Host Hotel. Saturday morning at Top Pot Donuts, Salmon Hatchery Tour and GeoCoin Poker Tournament. Sunday, the main event. So, sounds like a lot of activity going on over a very long weekend. And so it's I guess it's a mega event mm-hmm. at the heart of it, if I'm getting this correctly.
Right. UDAC in the chat says GeoCoinFest is a mini Woodstock with tables and chairs.
There you go.
I went to a GeoCoin event following a Geo Woodstock, and you know, large hall, tables and chairs, and people with, you know, bins of geo coins to trade and discover. And it was really quite fascinating and a bit overwhelming. But, you know, that it's here, right here in our lovely state. So I'm going to go. We're going to experience it. And we'll tell you all about it. But we'd like to see you there.
There you go. And, hey, I noticed Bounce in the chat has said there is a cruise September 23rd and 29th from Seattle to Vancouver. So,
oh, Bounce, you're fantastic. Thank you.
This may all just work out anyway. So stay tuned. We're going to put all this in development, and Bounce, we're probably going to reach out to you for a little more insight on this. All right. To tonight's topic, my friend.
Maybe we should call Bounce our cruise director.
Well, then we'd have to call him Julie.
Oh, yeah. Can I be Isaac?
That's better than Gopher.
Okay. and if you don't get those references, you're too young.
All right, kids, time to go to bed.
Oh, let's set sail for love. No, let's set sail for hiking and geocaching in the fall in the Northwest. Now,
let's do that.
If you've been in the Northwest for any length of time, the first thing you know is weather conditions change quickly here. I think it has something to do with the mountains. Sorry, I'm reading the chat again.
Yeah.
Yeah, UDAC okay. wants to be Vicky. Vicky was the teenage girl they brought in the last season or so trying to improve ratings. So UDAC, you go ahead and do it. We'll get all the ratings we can. weather changes quickly here in the Northwest. You know,
oh yeah, it does.
For me, and one of the things I learned growing up in the Midwest, good socks and shoes, if you keep your feet warm and dry, the rest of you follows. So anyway, there's my hint. There's my tip to you. You know, as you're hiking in the mountains, it's not uncommon to start off in dry, go up to wet, into snow, and then back down again. So
you should watch some of my YouTube videos.
Yeah, exactly. So if you have the opportunity, and you really should, check the trails for the latest conditions. You know, you could be going to a place that, you know, has had a lot of snowfall, and, you know, maybe you don't want to try to hike that today. Next off, and we say this every time you go out hiking, let somebody know where you're going. You know, and if your destination changes because of snow, because of weather, who knows, we just had a big windstorm because of fallen trees, let somebody know that as well.
Yeah, as I always say, make sure you tell someone and tell someone who cares. So,
we can't just, hey, buddy, I'm going over here today. What do I care?
But the principle behind that is what's called a trip plan. Now, there are some great online resources where you can actually print out a very simple form, a PDF that is essentially a trip plan. It has all the key information in there that you should be able to leave behind for other folks if you're going out on a hike. And, you know, if you're going on a multi-day hike, definitely a trip plan is essential to leave with folks. But even if you're just going on a day hike, okay, you don't necessarily need to go to all the effort of a full-on trip plan. But like Chris of the Northwest is saying, tell somebody where you're going and when you plan to be back. And as a geocacher, even better, if you're going on a hike and there's a few caches, but there's like one in particular you really want to make sure you get, then tell the person where you're going. Tell them the GC code of the cache you're really after, or, you know, or one that you know you're going to get, or you're going to, one you know you're going to try and get, let's put it that way, and your expected time to get back. And then that way, they actually have some sort of way to reference, okay, so they must have been on this trail. So in, you know, blur a bit, but in the event that you get lost, then the search and rescue group will know what trails you were headed for.
At least have a place to start looking, because woods are big.
They are. They are. Well, and another thing to always keep in mind is to pack the 10 essentials on any hike. So, Chris in the Northwest, do you want to give us a rundown of what the 10 essentials are?
You know, I love these 10 essentials. I don't always take them with me, but I really should. Even on a day hike, you know, if you're going for more than a couple of hours, you never know what's going to happen. So, you need navigation, sun protection, insulation, illumination, first aid elation. I just threw that one in there. First aid kit, fire starter, a multi-tool, nutrition, hydration, and shelter. There's all 10.
There you go. That's a pretty good list. And you know what? The reality is you can put all of that stuff into a small pack.
You don't need a huge backpack. You don't need to, you know, take a trailer with you out into the woods.
But, basically, all of that stuff is with me on almost every hike that we do in my vest. And my vest is always sort of preset. I've got a really nice first aid kit with me. Just got it, my first aid kit upgraded for Christmas. Yay. Actually, not for Christmas, for my birthday. My birthday feels like Christmas. So there you go. Christmas in September.
It's all about you, Land Monkey.
It is. Pocket knife. I've got a couple of knives I carry with me. Varying sizes,
including a machete, but it works.
There you go.
Matches, something to start a fire.
I can always start a fire. If there's one thing I really like doing, it's starting a fire. But that's perhaps a topic for a different show.
You know, it's good to bring extra clothing, and that may just be dressing in layers because you know, weather can change. It can be hot to cold in a matter of minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I saw Limax said he actually has most of those in his pack as well, which is awesome. A couple of the first items that you read off is a topographic map and a compass and the knowledge of how to use them. So geocachers, we often have a phone with maps and geolocation, obviously a GPS in it, or we have an actual GPS receiver device with maps. And those are great. And I think, you know, in a lot of cases, particularly day hikes, it replaces for the most part the need of carrying a map and a compass. But there is a certain value in having a weatherproof topographic map and a compass and knowing how to use those two in combination. That's
because batteries can die.
Sorry?
I'm sorry. Batteries can die.
Yeah.
So your GPS, your cell phone can be completely useless. So having a topographic map and knowing how to read it. Now, I know REI does classes on this monthly, and I believe they're free to members.
Yeah.
I want to say it's $10, $15 for non-members.
I was going to say, if you've ever shopped at an REI, you're effectively a member. So.
There you go. You know, stopping and taking one of those classes on a Saturday morning may not be a bad idea. It could keep you alive one day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, another thing that they note is it's always good to have some sort of emergency shelter, even on a day hike. Chris, you handed out a whole bunch as gifts at the event on Friday night of emergency shelters to the people who are attending the event. Do you want to share what that
was? You know, I thought maybe I had one down here when you started talking about it, but I don't. They're just an emergency blanket. One of those silver, really thin foil type blankets. You wrap it around you and you're going to hold in whatever heat your body's generating. But, you know, you could take that with a little bit of string and put it up between some trees and keep yourself dry.
Yeah. So again, one of those things where there's a lot of different potential uses and it weighs next to nothing.
It folds down a few ounces. You know, it folds up a little bigger than a credit card.
Yeah.
Of course, thicker, but about the size of a credit card, you can slip that into a hip pocket and carry it with you.
There you go.
That'd actually help if you fall down and give you a little padding. I don't know where that came from. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, great stuff to be thinking about. Again, doesn't take a lot of time to get the stuff together. Doesn't take a lot of weight or space to carry these things with you. And then, you know, you're better prepared for backcountry hiking in the fall.
So we told you to look at the trails. Remember that weather changes quickly, you know. If you're out hiking and you go out there and you go, oh, this weather is not good. But, you know, it's only, you know, 2 miles in. I should be able to make it. You know, don't. Save it for another day. You know, even if you're on a geocaching streak, there's another cache. You don't have to go out on this hike. Just because somebody put a cache out there doesn't mean you're obligated to go find it.
Sometimes I feel I'm obligated to go find them, but yes, you are correct.
You know, if you encounter inclement weather or treacherous conditions, turn around. It's not worth it. So, speaking of dangerous things, remember you're sharing the trail with hunters. It's hunting season.
It's duck season.
It's wabbit season.
It's duck season.
So wear bright colors and make a lot of noise, because do you know what animals they're hunting don't do? They don't wear bright colors and they don't make a lot of noise. And you go out there wearing, you know, dark browns and quiet and moving slowly, you look like prey.
So what you're saying is if evolution really, really was, for sure.
Beyond a theory?
We're going to get into a creationism versus evolution argument here now. But, you know, if evolution was a thing for sure, then wouldn't deer be like bright yellow, neon colors? Orange?
Well,
so hunters would think they're people and not shoot them. Those would be the ones that survive.
Oh, yeah. I get what you're saying. I'm thinking for the coyote. That's wonderful. But, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Anyways. Just playing.
One of the few times I agree with Broncos fans for life, that's why I wear orange.
Nah. Hey, you know what? You don't have to be a Broncos fan to wear orange, but I'm sure if you are caching with Broncos fan for life and you're wearing orange, you'll just be in your good books anyways.
Oh, that's funny. That's one reason she wears orange.
There you go. Awesome. Another thing that we encourage you to do if you're going out caching in the autumn is to take pictures. You know, this is a time of year. The days are shorter, but you get the golden, depending on the weather conditions, but you get the golden hour later in the morning and earlier in the evening. So you can get some fantastic, fantastic photos this time of year. Capture those colors around you. Remember, as I said, the days are getting shorter. So if you're waiting to get that one great shot with the sunset, you are going to have to hike back to your vehicle in the dark. So again, 10 essentials. Make sure you got lights.
That illumination essential.
There you go, with spare batteries for your lights as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, we've seen Wits End's portable sun. It's enough to illuminate anything, but, you know, make sure you carry an extra battery, because that bright of a light for that period of time, well, it burns brightly, my friend, and it burns quickly.
Exactly.
You know, one of the hikes that I like to make in the fall is the Heather Maple Pass Loop in the North Cascades. This is off Highway 20. So for me, it's way up north in Washington State. I just throw that out there.
Sure.
It's arguably one of the best hikes in the North Cascades. It offers some really stunning scenery on a very family-friendly trail. You know, snow can be lingering well into the summer, so you still might, in some new might have fallen by now, but it's a great one to put on your fall hiking list. Heather Maple Pass Loop.
Is there any GC codes of caches along that trail that you know of?
Don't know. Of course there is.
Of course there is. So something for our research department to look up for us. There you go. Yeah. So that sounds really neat. I'm not familiar with that trail. I don't think I've hiked it. If I've hiked it, it wasn't knowingly.
And, you know, it's one of those that it's stunning any time of year, but in the fall with the big color change, it's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, you could be walking just in a city park with the wonderful color changes, you know. You know, stop and get a picture, because, you know, fall is fleeting and we'll have months of dark and rain, and it might be nice to look at a picture of bright yellows and oranges and reds. Oh my.
Well, I'm hoping with the windstorms we've had this week that it's not too late and the leaves are all gone off the trees and they're all just sticks now. So
like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree.
Yeah, exactly. It's been crazy out there this week. All right. Well, you know what? Shifting gears a little bit, let's talk about cache owners. And as we've said, summer's over. It's autumn. It's time to do one last check on your hide before winter and the rains. Well, we had written before the rains really set in. The rains have really set in. Like it's now. So, you know, get out there, do your last maintenance run on your caches. Your logbook may be dry now, but it's a good idea to check the container for broken or cracked seals. That's very good advice. And hey, you know what? If the logbook is getting a little full, why not change it while you're there? It's not a bad idea. Honestly, I'd probably leave the logbooks till the spring, because you're probably going to get a lot fewer signatures in them over the winter. And yeah, I'm just thinking,
you know,
about,
you could have had the 8 million people come through there and sign them. So jumping back in topic, Team Finn, who is apparently the research department, came up with, sorry, I clicked on another one.
Came up with
the Bridge Creek Detour. That is GC3 Quebec 5 Whiskey. And it's right near, this is the cache I did that blew me away, is Rainy Lake Trail. That is GC Hotel 0 Charlie Alpha. And that was the Rainy Lake Trail is the one that absolutely blew me away.
Nice. All right, so I'm taking a look here on the map. I don't think we found anything. Oh, there's an earth cache right near there. Okay, hold on. What's this earth cache? Early Winters Valley Glacier. All right, that sounds
Land Monkey.
What?
Shiny things. Put it away.
Earth caches, man. Okay, yeah, that is quite the trail going out there.
That whole North Cascades Highway, Highway 20 in the state of Washington, might just be a nice trip It would take you the most part of a day. You can go between I want to say Issaquah and Winthrop. So
come on, Winthrop. That's a funny name for a town.
Yeah, concrete out that way, out where we did.
Okay.
Some caching and hiking, right?
So, yeah. So I've done a couple of caches out there because in the summer a year or two ago we did a drive out that way. On our way to Montana. But
yeah, there's a couple of really long geo trails.
Right. Hey,
along the road that'll keep you busy for at least a day.
There you go. Talking about Washington 20, I know the Coquihalla Highway up here has already had snow at the summit. Highway 20 usually gets hit with snow right around the same time as the Coquihalla. So it's probably something else too. And I think we talked about that right up at the beginning of the show, but you know, be checking the highways websites. Look, they've all got webcams now. So you can actually check and see what the conditions are before you head out.
Yeah. Parts of that are going to be closing for the winter.
Yep.
Bryling says Highway 20 has already briefly closed for snow, but is reopened for now.
For now, yeah, there you go. Okay.
So yeah, cool. If you want to go out and cruise Highway 20, take a look first.
Yeah.
You know, in the spring, you can't miss it. You've got to go and go along that highway. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
All right. So by the time you're listening to this podcast, it's probably too late for this year, but put it on your radar for next spring.
Exactly. Or you're listening to it in spring already. Hello. Welcome to spring. And
why are you so far behind in listening to our podcast?
Well, they just found
us. Thank you for listening.
That's because somebody took this podcast that they loved so much and burned it onto a CD, dropped it in a cache that got covered by snow, and somebody in the spring just found it.
Clearly, that's what's happened. All right. Well, enjoy this CD or DVD, whatever it is, or USB stick that you found in an ammo can that's made it through the winter. Boy, talk about swag, eh?
Oh, no better swag than the swag of information and entertainment.
It's the swag that keeps on giving.
Oh.
Or it's something.
It's the sounds we all get.
The sounds we all get.
That's the swag.
I love it. That's awesome. All right. Well, hey, you know what? Until next week, where can our listeners get more sounds?
Well, you know, I should tell everybody that Wits End, he should get some love. So let's go on Twitter, Facebook, geocaching.com, or even Google+ at Wits End, and go send him some love.
Yeah. There you go.
Because, you know, that'll freak him out. You know, you can find me on all those sites, Twitter, Facebook, Google+. Just look for Caching NW. What about you, Land Monkey?
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell everybody to do exactly what you were just suggesting. Go to Wits End, go to Twitter and post at Wits End, say, hi, missed you on the podcast. Just put something like that on there. Just see what happens. Everybody start posting that. See what happens. I think that'd be fun. Let them know that we missed them. Share a little love. But, you know, if you want to find out a little bit more about the Land Monkeys, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Periscope. We've got a few new Periscopes that have been posted up, had some fun. Chris of the Northwest is in at least one of them.
I was shocked. I'm like, what's he doing out there so long? Hey, look, I just got a text. Oh, look, it's a pair. Oh, look, I'm in it.
There you go. So at LandMonkeyGC is how you follow us on all three of those social media sites. And of course, if you want to see some of our crazy videos of our big adventures, check YouTube. And we just released a brand new one this week. It's been a while, so we're starting to get back into getting them done. I had some technical difficulties over the summer that it slowed down my editing process, but things are picking back up again now. So go to YouTube, search Land Monkey, LANMONKEY on YouTube, and you'll find all kinds of great adventures.
Nice.
Thank you.
And folks, we want to thank you. Because we like you, and we want to thank you for taking this opportunity to listen to Caching in the Northwest. Don't forget that you can be part of the show. You can call into 253-693-TFTC and leave us a comment, ask us a question, or send us your VHS tapes of classic curling any time of the day or night. Of course, you can fax us at feedback@cashingnw.com. No, you have to email us there. Also, your support helps keep quality shows coming. If you like this show, go ahead and click on the Patreon link on the cashingnw.com website. The show's licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2017 by Chris Umfenauer. And we ask you to stay tuned for
The After Show.
There we go. Oh, nice. Some people have already tweeted Wits End.
Awesome. You guys are great.
I got my phone handy. I'm sure something's going to come in here in just a few moments.
What did you guys do?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm never coming back.
No, he'll always be on. He'll be afraid to leave.
Yeah, that's right. Just like Daryl.
Oh, yeah.
He sleeps with one eye open now.
Okay, so yeah, and he's changed the locks to the
he doesn't hide the key under the mat
studio anymore. No,
does he use the fake rock beside the door? Because that's where I'm looking next.
Oops.
All right, hey, you know what, there is a ton of hashtag pass in the chat. I'm not sure how we're gonna get caught up on this.
I don't either. Iham says, wait, I didn't think Wits End was here. I just heard his voice.
The After Show.
Always creeps.
Oh, it's the Haunted Podcast, haunted by the ghost of Wits End.
The ghost of hosts past.
Oh, the ghost of host. Huh. Let's host see. Ghost. Limax starts off with burn a CD and throw it like a frisbee. To which Iham says, burn, baby, burn. Cashing in the Northwest has become the disco inferno.
Hmm. Actually, no, that was Geo Gearheads we left as an inferno.
Oh, yeah.
All right. A little more talk about the fires.
Okay. I said I would mention something about throwing a CD.
Yeah. Do tell.
When I was in Africa, we were in a large, kind of, it was a large cement building, you know, two buildings that looked into each other, had a common courtyard in the middle. And I had an old CD and I wanted to see how far I could throw it. And, you know, CDs don't throw well, you know, they turn and twist. And so I threw it across there. It hit that other wall just right and shattered into a million pieces. I'm like, ooh, this is fun. Yeah. You can throw CDs and shatter them against a brick wall very easily. And it takes a long time to sweep them up. Those little pieces just don't move like you think they should.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't do that. You don't have to anymore.
So, okay. So we're actually growing a list of things you shouldn't do from our podcast. One is...
We are a good, bad example.
Don't throw CDs against brick walls. Another one would be don't have archiving parties.
Yes, that's right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say Team Finn
yeah.
posted a comment earlier on and got some answers to it. Said, how do you handle a harsh post on your cache page?
Ooh.
That is an excellent question. Now, well, Land Monkey, do you want to take that or shall I? I've got a couple of ideas, but.
How do you handle a harsh? So I didn't see exactly where that was in the chat, so I'm assuming there's some sort of context, but.
They have a mystery or a puzzle cache.
Okay.
And from what I saw, and I can't remember exactly, I think somebody determined it was too hard to do.
Okay.
So you don't have to do it.
Yeah. The end.
The end. Exactly. So, you know, if they put a, you know, this cache is too hard to do, you know, as a cache owner, you have a right to delete it if you don't want to see it.
On your ignore list, you mean?
No, well, yes. No, oh, but as the cache owner, if somebody posts that on your cache, this is stupid and too hard to do, you have the right to remove that post.
Just what was it, like a write note or a DNF? Or?
I don't know.
Okay. Obviously, it wasn't a found it.
No. so Dora Moore says, it's a game. unless it's obscene or offensive, ignore it. Yes.
Exactly where I was going to go is that. So thank you, Dermore. And I was going to say, you know, as long as, I guess the only part where I would be concerned about, do I, you know, what do I do with this? If somebody posts something and it's moronic or offensive or whatever, and it's a right note or it's a, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, if you want to delete it, delete it. The other thing you can do, I think, is you can still scramble it, right?
You can encrypt it. Yeah, yeah.
Now, I think it's just a ROT13 encryption, mm-hmm. but it just makes it gibberish for most people. So if somebody really wants to read it, they can. Mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't bother doing that unless it was a found it log. And if they write something offensive in their found it log, I would encrypt it so that they don't lose their smiley.
Right.
But it's now encrypted, so people have to actually put some effort in to see what it said. And probably I would send a message to the person who wrote the log and ask them, hey, can you just edit this so that it's okay for kids to read it?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the thing, right? Is this game is designed for people of all ages to play.
Right.
And as Dormore said, it's just a game. So, you know, unless you work at geocaching.com, it's just a game. If you work at geocaching.com, it's your livelihood. Either way, there's really no need for people to freak out in the logs. So, did we answer the question?
Yes. The CO wrote back, it was a found it log for a certain coin challenge.
Okay.
I requested they edit it, and they politely did.
Well, there you go. Well done. Well handled. So,
it says our caches were messed up, but we had them fixed within an hour. Dormore says nasty comments reflect on the writer, not the CO.
Exactly.
So, to which the CO said, I figured it would create a negative view of the coin challenge. So there you go. I mean, you know, people are people. They could have had a bad day or they're just a grumpy person to begin with. You know, either way, you're going to have to deal with people in the game. The game would be great if there were no other people involved. Or if everyone was like me.
Hey, Startcasher had some fatas earlier on in the chat.
Startcasher went a little crazy with fatas information. You know what? I love it. Thank you, Startcasher. I appreciate it. So, on November 5th, he says, I'm going to a unique event called DTS Flash Mob.
That's
DST, sorry, DST. It's Daylight Savings Time. Daylight Saving Time. That is GC7 Delta, Papa Romeo Romeo. It's in a park that's open 24/7, and that is 40 miles as the crow flies away from home. Starts at 1:45 a.m. and ends half an hour earlier at 1:15 a.m. Well, that's genius.
That's really cool. I love it.
The cache page states, the village council and police department are aware of the event. They actually found it a little amusing that we'd want to hold an event at this time. The event owner asked on the local caching organization's Facebook page if anybody be interested in attending such an event before he submitted it. There seemed to be much support of the idea, with a dozen or more cashers saying they would be there.
That's really cool. I love it.
You know, that would be fun to do, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be really neat. I think that's a great idea, whoever came up with that one. Mm-hmm. So kudos. And I love the fact that the village council and police department are amused that the geocachers are going out to do that. So there you go. Very creative. Great mm-hmm. idea.
Thanks for sharing that, Startcacher. That is cool. Now I'm wondering, can I do that too? Let's see. Where can you go at 1 a.m., almost 2 a.m.? Bars are open at that time. You don't want to be in the bars at 2 a.m., do you?
Mm.
So okay. I don't frequent bars, but if a bar is open at 2 a.m. on daylight savings, does that give them an extra hour? Do they set their clocks back and they're open twice?
It's been a long time since I've been at a bar or a nightclub.
Oh, a Denny's.
My closing time. So
a Denny's would be a good place to hold it. Thank you, Bronco Denny's fan.
Yeah, good idea. Hey, earlier on as well, when we were talking about GeoCoin Fest 2018, there was some requests in the chat asking if anybody is interested in volunteering at GeoCoin Fest 2018. So I would imagine if you are interested in volunteering, you can probably reach out to the WSGA.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess.
I think they're going to need a lot of volunteers. So it's going to be a big event. I'd love to see it as a giga right here in the state of Washington. You never know. You never know. You never know. Okay.
It won't possible.
I don't think it'll happen in Washington.
No.
We've got Geocaching HQ here. Maybe.
Well, if we put the cruise on, that might just push it over the edge.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
It is a WSGA event. WSGA. Yeah, I said that right. It didn't sound right coming out. I apologize.
You got four letters.
Yeah, but, it also spells swag.
I know.
Right?
I know. It's clever.
We will talk more about GeoCoin Fest in the next upcoming year. So, WSGA, we're coming for you. And congratulations, WSGA, for winning the bid for GeoCoin Fest 2018.
Yeah, nice work, man.
Yeah, well done. Right, oh, wait, is it not a WSGA event?
I don't know.
Now I got to go look. No. I have too many tabs open. I apologize. I can't find what I'm looking for. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I should write a song. It is... No.
I'm finding this chat hard to follow. Yeah. All right.
Okay, so what else can we... Team Finn, who has an event every month, mm-hmm. and has a streak going this year of monthly events, says our next event is National Sandwich Day in Federal Way. There'll be lots of tables and chairs. That is GC7 Delta Papa Romeo Zero.
Nicely done.
Oh, man. Somebody else already wrote my song. All the good songs are already written. All the songs I can think of in my head, somebody else wrote.
Hmm.
Okay.
O equals oxygen, and love is like oxygen.
Oh. Love is a battlefield.
Oh. There you go. All right. Well...
Okay, one of the things we'd mentioned in the after show is the funny pronunciation of Issaquah.
Ah, right, yes. Let's get to that.
Yes.
Speaking of...
So what, Land Monkey, we were together. What were we doing?
Probably up to no good.
Yes.
I believe we were headed to the Going Ape event.
Yes. It was in the... we had to get off on an exit in Issaquah, and Siri was navigating us. Well... We had never heard Siri pronounce the town, the city of Issaquah. And Issaquah is, it's a Native American word. So it's not, you look at it and you have to sound it out. Issaquah.
Something like that.
Something like that. I'm spelling it off the top of my head at 10 o'clock at night, and that's never a good thing. It could go terribly wrong. Well, and we made Siri do this several times. She pronounced it quite hilariously.
Quite dramatically, yes, actually.
With a sharp intake of breath at the end, which I'd never considered before in a language. And it came out Issaquah. Issaquah, sharp intake of breath. Issaquah.
I'm not sure what startled Siri when she was...
I don't either. I'm like, Why would you even have that sound?
A gasp.
So we made her say it several times, and I think that alerted the people at Apple, and they fixed it.
Yeah, that's probably what it was, triggered it. You know what? I was just thinking about, you know, why would Siri be programmed to make that sound? And maybe somebody has asked Siri in the past, do podcasters wear pants?
I get it now.
There you go.
There's a local, Doramore says, there's a local puzzle called Hemi Demi Semi Quaver. Yep. We made a newbie try to pronounce it more than once.
That's funny. Cool, cool. All right. Well, you know, I think probably wraps up. It's been a lengthy show. We're an hour and a quarter almost here.
Can't believe it. How do we get so long? Remember back when we tried to for 20-minute shows?
Yeah. I think at the beginning of our show notes, it always says we're targeting for 30 to 35 minutes.
And, that's right. Of real content. And then, you know, we fit another 30 minutes of, well, this around it.
Of this. Yeah.
And I hear this is what people like. Let me know if this is what you like.
There you go. But yeah.
Until next week, we want to tell you to get out and get caching in the Northwest.